good afternoon and welcome to the last session block for today. Those of you who are in the back, there are lots of seats up here that are ready and available for you. If you'd like to move up a little bit, you're certainly welcome to. My name is Shelley Alcorn, and I'd like to thank you for being here. And I'd also like to welcome the online audience currently watching this webcast from all sorts of locations in the United States and internationally. Before we get started, I do have a couple of housekeeping reminders. Please silence cell phones and electronic devices now. The session is being streamed and recorded live. We are going to have questions and answers, I am sure, during the session. If you are here on site and you do have a question, we would ask that you use the microphones on the stands, one located in the front part of the room and one in the back, so that the online audience can hear your question. If you're online, I will be on the chat, and feel free to put speaker cue and ask your question, and I will relay those to the panel. I'd also like to encourage each of you to complete the online evaluation for the session, whether you do it on site or you do it after you've had a little bit of time to reflect. You can find those session evaluations on the online website agenda, on the mobile app, and also a link on each session page in the virtual conference center. And finally, don't miss the reception, 4:30 to 6:30 tonight in the exhibit hall. I know our exhibitors are waiting to show you all the cool stuff they have for you to use in your organizations. And now let's introduce our main speaker, who will then introduce the panel. I would like to introduce you to Julie Evans, who is the CEO of the National Education Nonprofit Organization, Project Tomorrow, www.tomorrow.org, whose mission is to ensure that today's students are well prepared to become tomorrow's leaders, innovators, and engaged citizens of the world. Under her leadership, Project Tomorrow has emerged as a national leader, promoting the use of innovative and research-based science, math, and technology resources in our K-12 schools to develop critical thinking, problem-solving, and creativity skills in students. So thank you very much. I'll turn it over to Julie and enjoy the rest of the session.
Well, thank you very much, and I am absolutely thrilled to be here. EDUCAUSE is always one of my favorite conferences of the year, and so I consider it quite an honor to be here today, not only to share with you some of the very latest Speak Up data, but also to have the opportunity to work with and learn from my wonderful panel of experts that I will introduce to you shortly. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about the Speak Up National Research Project. I'm going to share with you some context for a very specific set of new research that we are sharing with you today, give you some of those report findings, and then have a fabulous discussion with my panel and then open it up to you for questions and answers. We are going to be looking at a very specific set of data that was a specific Speak Up survey that was conducted with pre-service teachers, college students, and teacher preparatory programs all around the country. So it's a very specific slice of data today. So let me introduce to you my fabulous panel that I have with me today. I am so excited to have this opportunity to work with them. Right next to me here on my left is Devin. Now let's see if I can do this. Devin Vajitka? Vodichka. Devin Vodichka, who is the superintendent of Vista Unified School District. Welcome, Devin. Next to him is my friend Pat Stahl, who is a professor at Cal State San Marcos in the College of Education, Health, and Human Services. Nice to see you, Pat. Next to Pat is Kelly Carr, who is an English teacher at Rancho Buena Vista High School, which is also in the Vista Unified School District. Kelly. And then with Kelly is Tara Swenson, who is a teacher candidate at Cal State San Marcos, so still working toward her teaching credential, but she's currently a student teacher in Kelly's class at Rancho Buena Vista High School. So as you can see, we have quite a number of perspectives here on this particular panel. So in case you're not familiar with the Speak Up National Research Project, I'll tell you a little bit about it. It's a unique research project in that we collect data from K-12 students, teachers, parents, and administrators, as well as I mentioned, college students that are in teacher preparatory programs, to be able to inform national and state and local policies, programs, and plans around the use of digital tools and resources. We started this project in 2003, and since that time, we've had a little bit over 3 million surveys that have been submitted to us. Now, I'll tell you a little bit more about this at the end, but we are actually currently open for our K-12 Speak Up surveys, at any K-12 school or district can use our surveys to collect their own authentic, unfiltered feedback from their stakeholders. We give back to them all their data. And then we'll be opening up our higher education Speak Up surveys on February 5th. That will include surveys for college students, once again, that are in teacher preparatory programs, as well as faculty from schools of education. We'll talk more about that at the end. Okay, so before we get into the particular data from the college students, I want to give you a little bit of context from our K-12 data to sort of set up the conversation. This data is from last fall. The online surveys that were available to the K-12 schools and districts were available from about the middle of October, right about now, till the middle of December. We had about 466,000 online surveys that were submitted nationwide. So one of the questions that we ask administrators, both at the school site level as well as district level, is that we ask them about the different types of education initiatives or education reform activities and ask them to rate them in terms of their greatest potential to enhance student achievement. What's been very interesting to us, and remember we started this project in 2003, so we have the benefit of looking at this data over time, has been how both school site and district administrators are increasingly looking to digital tools and resources to help drive student achievement. It's not just about student engagement, it's really truly about student achievement. They also are looking toward their schools of education to enhance their pre-service programs so that those new teachers coming in are better able to use some of that technology. Now, all of this has really been coming about because as administrators are increasingly looking to digital tools and resources to drive that student achievement, they're looking at their existing teacher force and realizing that there's some challenges there. And so it doesn't matter whether we talk about the use of mobile devices within mobile learning, online classes, or e-textbooks, online textbooks, digital content. Administrators every year tell us about their concerns about whether or not their teachers are either well-trained to leverage these tools, have an interest in using these tools, or are comfortable in that type of a teaching environment. That goes one step further when we ask the administrators, as well as the teachers and the students themselves, to comment about the use of technology within their ultimate school. So as we can see here from this data, and I just pulled a couple of our data points from the K-12 survey, is that when we look at things such as online classes, for example, we see that students are very interested in those, as are principals, but the teachers are a little bit more held back. If you take a look at any one of those new emerging technologies that are up there, you see that in all cases there's a disconnect between the aspirations of the students, the expectations of their school principals, and where the current teaching force is. Now that's driving many principals in particular to put together their wish list of what they would like to see in new teachers that are coming into their classrooms. And in many cases, these principals have a pretty high wish list in terms of thinking about how they would like to have these new teachers be well prepared to use technology. Whether that is to create multimedia, use and create multimedia, to be able to use social media with their students, incorporate student-owned devices, or actually even conduct online assessments. We'll talk more about the principal's expectations when we get into this college student data. So we took this college student survey and actually created a report, and I did put out a couple postcards that are out and around on the tables if you want to then subsequently download the report. In addition to that, I will also post it up on my profile on the EDUCAUSE site as well. But we did create this new report that specifically looked at the digital experiences and expectations of tomorrow's teachers, and in particular, how those compare to those expectations of the school principals. So from a research perspective, we took a deep dive into what types of technology college students are using, how they are learning to use technology within their college programs, what are those expectations of the principals, and then also what are the expectations of the pre-service teachers for the types of technology they need to have in their classroom when they get in the classroom. And these are all questions that I'm going to ask our panel as well. So just so that you have some background, we had about 1,300 college student responses for this. Three-quarters of those college students were in undergraduate teacher preparation programs. Okay, so we have five key findings that came from the report. I'm going to give you just a snippet in each one of them. Of course, I encourage you to download the report. In addition to this, I also have some sheets of paper out and around for the folks that are here in the room. If you would like to have us send the PowerPoint directly to you, we can do that. Once again, I will post it on my profile on the EDUCAUSE site for our virtual audience to access as well. So no surprise here, I'm sure, to any of us here in the audience. Our college students that are in teacher preparatory programs are using a wide range of different technologies. When we compare that to where current teachers are, we see a vast difference. We see that the aspiring teachers are doing more blogging, they're using Twitter more frequently, they're using discussion boards and social networking sites. They're also doing things such as using Google Docs or Google Drive or Google Documents to be able to do some writing or to be able to communicate with others to a much higher degree than current teachers. We also found, and we thought this was an interesting new finding, that the aspiring teachers are in many cases driving their own educational destiny by going out and using, in particular, social media to be able to enhance what they are getting out of their teacher preparatory programs. And so we thought that was a particularly key finding. Look at that number, 20%, and this was from spring 2012, 20% of those aspiring teachers told us that they were thinking about Twitter or were using Twitter as a professional learning tool. So, I am fully aware of the fact that we are after lunch, so we're going to play a little Jeopardy game here, a little bit of interactivity, at least with the audience that's here in the room with us. I'm going to assume that everybody knows how to play Jeopardy. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a category, and then you're going to have to answer the question in the category. But I'm going to give you prompts, and we're going to do it the old-fashioned way here in the room, just with people raising their hands. But maybe, Stacy, you could track if people want to comment to you. We could find out what the virtual audience is saying as well. So the category is the life of an aspiring teacher. And the particular answer is a key factor in determining my future success as a teacher. So did aspiring teachers tell us it was an online peer support group, online professional development, a class website or school portal, tech tools and resources for his or her classroom, or data on student achievement? Who thinks it was an online peer support group? Okay. Online professional development? Class website? Tech tools or resources in the classroom? And data on student achievement. Okay, well, no surprise here. I don't know what your answer, if there was any answers coming up there virtually. No surprise here, because we're at EDUCAUSE, so of course all of our EDUCAUSE attendees always get the answer right. They did ask for all of these, but the most predominant one was the idea of having tech tools and resources that they could use in their own classroom. They're also, though, very interested in online professional development as a key factor for their success, and I was also impressed with the fact that they wanted to get data on student achievement to inform their instructional plan. Now, we're going to talk more about the tech tools and resources under key finding number 5. But let's talk about how this group, this new group of aspiring teachers that we know are very tech savvy, how are they learning about using technology within K-12 instruction? In many cases, they are looking to either their student teaching experiences with their cooperating teachers or observing their class professors or also their classmates as the role models. Now, in many cases, those might be the best role models for them. In some cases, we might want to question whether or not that is, in fact, the best role models for them to learn about using technology within instruction. Now, we also asked the pre-service teachers about what types of technology tools or techniques they were using, learning to use in their methods classes. And it was pretty basic. They were learning how to use office tools, how to maybe create a multimedia PowerPoint presentation, how to use an interactive whiteboard. Some of the more advanced things that we're talking about here at EDUCAUSE and in some of our K-12 conferences didn't come up, at least from the national body. Now, we're going to talk here with our panel, so we may get a different perspective there. Again, the question should be, are these the right priorities in terms of preparing the next generation of teachers that is already going to be teaching our students? Are these the right things that our pre-service teachers should be learning? Now, I mentioned before that school principals in particular have a really high bar in terms of the expectations that they have for these next hires that they're going to be bringing into their school. So what we did is a comparison. We asked principals about their expectations, and we asked the pre-service teachers about the experiences that they have in their training programs. And you can see here, without even getting too far into the data, just the difference between the green bar, which is the principal's expectations, and the yellow bar, which is what the pre-service teachers are learning. We were particularly struck by this change from the principal's perspectives. So look at these numbers, and these are just from last fall from the school principals. A 3 times increase in terms of wanting their new hires, the next generation of teachers, to have actually taught an online class. In 2008, there was sort of a nice to have. 12% said we'd like to have them have some experience teaching an online class, not just taking one, teaching one. But by last fall, that number had risen to 36% wanted to see that type of experience. And reflecting what we're seeing in the K-12 environment in terms of students bringing their own device, at a doubling of the percentage of principals that want those pre-service teachers to also be able to integrate student-owned devices into their own classroom instruction. Now, our fourth key finding is that the teachers, tomorrow's teachers, or the aspiring teachers, actually place a higher value on the role of technology than current teachers, again reflecting a different perspective that they have on the role of technology. So again, when we do a comparison between current teachers, those are teachers within K-12 classrooms right now, and these college students that are aspiring to be teachers, we see a dramatic difference in their value proposition around using technology. So when we ask them about the impact of technology on students' academic success, look at the difference here in these numbers. In terms of thinking about technology as a modality for developing students' creativity, 76% of the aspiring teachers felt that that was a valid role for technology. Only about a third of current teachers were realizing that sort of value proposition. So very interesting to look at the differences between the current teaching force and what it looks like really for the next generation of teachers. When we took it one step further and asked them about their own effectiveness, so does technology make them more effective as a teacher? Again, we see that split, that disconnect between the current teachers and the aspiring teachers. Particularly interesting was this idea around creating a student-centered learning environment. Again, about a third of current teachers viewed technology as servicing that role, and over a majority of the aspiring teachers are thinking about that as a key value proposition of using technology. Now, our fifth finding, and then I'm going to turn over to my panel to get some of their comments on this, is that these aspiring teachers do have a long wish list in terms of their own expectations for using technology in their future classroom. In addition to this quantitative data, I've also had the opportunity to do some focus groups with some pre-service teachers. And so they do have very high expectations about the technology that they'd like to have in their classroom. Now, quite often when I present this data in particular to K-12 school and district leaders, it sometimes creates a little bit of concern because this bar is so high in terms of what they would like to see in their future classrooms that in some K-12 environments, that is not going to be the reality. But what they're looking for is a wide range of different things, in some ways a reflection of how they're using the technology personally. In other cases, it's a reflection of what their experience has been in their teacher preparatory program. They are particularly interested in having campus-wide, school-wide internet access, and also for every one of their students to have some type of a computing device, a laptop or a netbook, conceptually even a tablet, in their hands so that they can take advantage of that. So we thought those were particularly interesting findings. So there was interesting things in this report to inform both schools of education as well as K-12 schools and districts. So we leave in the report sort of some unopened or unanswered questions to be further dived into by the different types of leaders. So from a K-12 standpoint, thinking about that communication with schools of education that are a feeder for your school or district, how well are you communicating what your needs are, what your expectations are, and then for the schools of education, how well are they preparing tomorrow's teachers to meet the expectations, particularly of those hiring principals? Okay, so enough of background and context with the data. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to moderate a discussion with our panel. I've got some questions for them, but I want you to start thinking about your questions because we have left plenty of time in our program here today for your questions and comments as well. So let's jump into it. Are we ready, panel?
Okay, they look ready.
Yes. Okay, so I want to start right here at the top with Devin and say, Devin, so thinking about Vista Unified School District, which if you folks are not familiar, Vista Unified is in North San Diego County. So I would say about 50 miles from here, 50 miles south from here on the way to San Diego. So thinking about your school district, what types of things are you looking for in your new hires coming into Vista? What sort of expectations do you have in terms of the digital experiences that you want your new teachers to have?
That is a very good question. And first, I would say this is a really a big issue, not just for Vista Unified, but for California. There was a report that came out just a couple of days ago that said that 100,000 teachers in California are 50 years of age or older. So 100,000 in the state, over 50. In our district, we estimate that about a third of our teachers will retire in the next 5 years. And we have a little over 1,000 teachers. So probably we're looking at hiring 300 or so teachers in the next 5 years. And most of our new hires come out of Cal State San Marcos. And just out of curiosity, how many do we have in the program now?
Not quite that many.
Yeah. The context is teaching has not been a field where we've done a lot of hiring in the past few years because of all the cuts. And so I believe that we're looking at a shortage of teachers in the near future, and that will present some unique challenges. But the impact of the newer teachers coming into the profession will be profound. And so we want to make sure when we hire, first and foremost, that we're hiring people that are willing to learn. Because if you look at the data from Speak Up over a period of years, these trends change sometimes quickly. Google Apps was not a high priority 5 years ago, and now we would say that's a high priority. 5 years from now, it may be something different. So
that's right.
Knowing that the tools will change and knowing that we're looking for people that are willing to learn is probably the most important technology skill that we're looking for, and that's actually a bit of a soft one. In terms of what they can do at the moment, communicating is most important, and that bears itself out in the survey. But second is, how do you use these tools to promote collaboration, not just with your colleagues, but most importantly for the students? So can you facilitate collaborative learning environments for students using digital tools? That is what we're looking for at this point.
So Devin, it's very interesting. When I talk to other superintendents or principals, they're telling me that at one point, and maybe it was mythology, but at one point they sort of looked out into the future and said, well, all of these college students that are going to be teachers are digitally native, to use an old term. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to need that line item for professional development.
Aha. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great myth that's out there. And it is true, and the data from the survey also reflects this, that the newer teachers are coming in with higher levels of technology proficiency, but that doesn't mean that they know how to use it as an instructional tool. And so the need for professional development, I don't think, diminishes at all. It just might shift a little bit to maybe a different focus than we've seen in the past.
I thought it was mythology, but I needed to test it out
yeah.
with you. So Pat, coming at it from a school of education standpoint and preparing teachers, what sort of programs do you have, or how are you going about preparing this next generation of teachers to use these digital tools?
This is, I can speak from the single subject, which in California is a high school secondary preparation program. Our program at Cal State San Marcos has always had a technology course, so everybody takes that. But it doesn't do everything that we need it to do, obviously. One course doesn't. So we've kind of, in the secondary preparation program, taken on, if you will, a bit of an organic approach, and that is that we have iPads for all of our teacher candidates through a grant, but we don't say, okay, this is an app, and this is how you use it, and this, and we're going to, we don't teach them that. It's carried around with you, and try out some apps, and in some schools, they actually have carts and they can steal each other's screens, if you will. And so some teachers, teacher candidates, are like our classroom teachers. They take off with it. And some use it to a lesser degree. But that kind of approach, in my mind, says that we can't, it changes too fast. We can't teach them everything they're going to need to know. They really need to learn to carry it around, try it out, experiment, which this generation, I think our millennials, are much more comfortable with than our older teachers.
I think it's so interesting. I was at another conference last week, and we were talking about this big challenge of how do you unlearn and relearn, and how for existing teachers, that's a real stumbling block. And I think it goes back to what Devin was saying about wanting to make sure that those new hire teachers knew how to learn and sort of relearn some of this. What are you finding, Pat, in terms of your faculty, in terms of their use of technology? Because we learned from the pre-service teachers that the way their professors were modeling the use of these tools was something that was significant for them in terms of their own learning.
And in our particular program, and we realized we were some of those people who needed to learn more, so we actually brought in some help. It's not necessarily professional development, but we completely envisioned one of our courses in the second semester to include much more technology with regard to creating a personal learning network, following professional organizations on Twitter, archiving information in DIGO as a way to continually learn, you know, what's the best out there and network with people all over the world. That's one of the things I think is, you know, kind of cool about being able to network in that way. So that's a way that you are a continual learner, that you stay on top of things, because it, once again, I'll say, it just goes too fast. It changes too fast. And even as a district, I don't know if we can provide we can provide some professional development, but a lot of that learning is going to be like on our own. And what's the latest and greatest out there? And there's lots of ways to stay in contact with that if you develop those habits.
Yeah, and that's definitely things that we're seeing not only in the pre-service teacher data, but in our regular K-12 survey in terms of the teacher's responses about how they are self-directing their own professional development and getting very comfortable with using social media and being part of online professional learning communities and being able to tap into more informal types of, I guess, professional development. Okay, Kelly. So you're in the classroom, and you have the opportunity to work with Tara this year in the classroom as a student teacher. So first, give us a little context in terms of how you're using different types of digital tools and resources in your English classroom.
Okay, in my classroom, we use Google Docs quite a bit, and we use that to collaborate with each other, either with the staff and also with students. So students use Google Apps to create their writing, to peer edit with each other. They share their documents. They make comments. They also use Quizlet on their mobile devices to help with their vocabulary. Help me, what other things are they using? We use online learning management systems like My Big Campus, and also like Vocaroo.com. I have students do small speeches on their mobile phones, and then they upload them to My Big Campus so that I can listen to their speeches and be able to re-listen to them after they've done one, you know, 6 months from now, so I can see how their academic language has improved, because I won't remember their speech from 6 months ago if I don't have it recorded. So we use a lot of, and I probably am not thinking of all the things that we use, but we use it a lot.
You know, I would just because I know Kelly and Tara's classroom, those, they have a large number of English learners and special needs students. And so that, like recording an academic language is for, I mean, a really larger and larger number of our students all the time. So they're finding it, I think, very helpful for
those students.
And we've also done some flipping the classroom where all the students write an essay, and I have like almost 200 students throughout the day. So when I'm grading essays, I notice they have weaknesses and strengths in different areas. I'm able to record little tutorials for them online and according to the rubric, so they can go to their weakness and watch the tutorial for that particular piece and then be able to revise their essay. So we're able to differentiate instruction and extend it beyond the classroom, which is really nice.
That's great. You're obviously doing a lot of really creative things, Kelly. Now think about put yourself sort of in the position of, you know, having a new teacher come in, either to your department or to your school. What types of skills or technology training do you think these new teachers should have from your classroom perspective?
Well, the first thing they need really is to just be comfortable with being uncomfortable, because as we're trying out all of this new technology, we're going to come across some glitches, and we have to be prepared to have a backup plan, and that happens quite often. Just the other day, we went in and tried to do a Twitter with the kids where they could tweet their Vocaroo, their little speeches. They did these image poems and they recorded them, uploaded them. We were going to tweet them and we were going to have them follow Dr. Vodichka as well as me and Ms. Swenson, and we had this great plan, and we went in and Twitter was blocked. So we had to come up with a backup plan. So we had to go to My Big Campus and do it differently. Yeah. So I think the biggest thing is just, I mean, they do need to be trained, but like everybody's saying, everything is changing, and so they have to be ready to get on and just try things out and understand that not everything is going to be great. Sometimes things are going to fail, and students actually, they learn a lot from that. When you fail in front of them or when there's something that doesn't go right, and then you show them, oh, okay, well, we can do something different, and we'll try again, they learn a lot from that.
And that's a great teaching moment. You're absolutely right. I also love, and we hear this all the time from the K-12 students, they really like the opportunity to learn with their teachers and be in a co-learning environment. And so that's a wonderful way to maybe unintentionally enable that or empower that. Okay, Tara, so you are part of this study in terms of being an aspiring teacher. So tell us a little bit about what your expectations are for your future classroom. You know, what type of technology do you want to be able to use in your future classroom?
Yeah, I'm obviously still learning, as I've only been in the program for a few months now. But based on the experiences that I've had so far, each student having some type of device is so important. We have gone to the computer lab, and while that works, sometimes it doesn't always work, and having something in the class that they could just pull up at any time is amazing. I mean, right now we have netbooks in the class, and while they're slow, they do the job. And so just the other day, Kelly was actually on a Google Doc with the students and was grading their paper as they were watching her grade it. So it was the coolest thing for them, getting that feedback right away, and then being able to try to fix it, and then have her be like, no, that's not quite right, try again, or yeah, that's awesome, you got it. So that would be one of the most important things, I think.
Yeah, when we think about the importance of writing, particularly with the Common Core, how interesting to be able to give that immediate feedback using that type of technology. So how are you learning how to use technology within your program at Cal State San Marcos?
100% from Kelly Carr.
Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, you all heard
all right,
everything
so the
that
field
she's
study,
done.
The student teaching.
Right. So in, the clinical practice that we've done, I've learned so much. But all of that started in the prereq classes for the credential program. And it was an education 422 class. And it was all about, it's the technology class that Pat was talking about earlier. And then the instructor that I had actually came in over summer and taught us how to create our own websites. And that was really neat, too, because I don't think any of us knew where to even start with creating a website. So now that's a skill that we have that we can use in our future classrooms as well.
So please humor me with this. So you're going to be with Kelly in her class through, like, December or January?
We're hoping for longer, but as of right now, yes, I'll be with her until December.
Okay. So just a final question, then I'm going to open it up to the audience for some questions. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you're being well prepared to be able to use this technology when
you
get into the classroom?
I do, absolutely. And I don't know if that's because I got lucky in that my supervisor and my cooperating teacher are so supportive of that. I don't know if everyone is having the same experience with technology as I am, but yeah, I feel incredibly privileged to be where I am right now, yeah.
So I've got, so I'm breaking my own rules here. I have one more follow-up question for them, and then I'm going to open it up to you. So based on that, what Tara was mentioning, you know, one of the things that we have heard through some focus group is that in some cases, the teacher preparation programs or the schools of education in their cooperating arrangements with school districts to place student teachers are not evaluating those cooperating teachers based on their technology skills. They're evaluating them on a whole range of different types of criteria. So I'd love to hear from either Devin or Pat about, is that something that should be part of the partnership? Is thinking about placing these new aspiring teachers in classrooms with teachers such as Kelly?
Pat may have some different ideas, but you know, one thing that I've seen that can work very well in any collaborative environment with teachers is if you have an experienced teacher who understands solid instructional practices, they may not be very technologically proficient. You pair that person with someone who maybe does not have the capacity in terms of instructional skills but understands the technology, there can be a reciprocal benefit mm-hmm. to both. So personally, as a superintendent, I would love to see kind of a cross-pollination of many different talents as opposed to selective placement. Because I think that the system as a whole would benefit from that exchange.
I would second that. You know, first and foremost, we want our teacher candidates to learn from really good teachers. And another partner district, which we're working with right now, Escondido, actually the teachers in meetings with the district office, the teachers have so much professional development going on with regard to the Common Core that we had an iPad initiative, and they said, we can't pull them out anymore. And so in conversations, I said, so what if our teacher candidates take on that role of, here are some things that we can do with the iPad? And so mm-hmm. it's that cross-pollination that Devin mm-hmm. talked about. So it was actually that kind of that reverse of mm-hmm. learning from them, because it's in the moment. You don't have to go to a whole separate PD.
Right.
It's, yeah, try this. I'll watch you and see what you do.
Right.
And in many cases, very simple on your phone, poll everywhere.
Right.
The cooperating teacher watched the teacher candidate use that and said, you know what, why don't you spend 10 minutes at our next social studies department meeting and show everybody how to use this?
Great.
So,
Well, I love the responsiveness of the university, too, to what the unique pressures were in the partnering school district to come up with a solution. Okay, so as I promised, if there are some questions here from the audience, either those of us that are here in the room or our virtual audience, we can take some questions now up at the microphones. Otherwise, I continue to have questions for my fabulous panel. So Jill's going to ask a question, it looks like.
So my question, this actually came to me from a parent just the other night, so I'm going to pose it to you guys. And it's a question about digital literacy. Her son was sent home with an assignment to search it on Google from their high school English teacher. And the parent flipped out, basically, you know, because were they supposed to put their 13-year-old on Google without any parameters? Mm. And I'm just curious, from all four of your points of view, how you're teaching search skills and digital literacy with all this information, on top of, you know, the wonderful examples of the skill building and the editing and all of those things happening in the classes. So
wonderful. Thank you, Jill. So Jill is from Cal State San Marcos. We actually know each other. So the question has to do with from Channel Islands, that's right. This is Cal State San Marcos, Cal State Channel Islands. So the question has to do with research and teaching research skills. So what do you think, Devin?
Well, I know that as a condition of receiving E-rate funding, We're required to implement a online safety curriculum. And so we use materials from Common Sense Media, which mm-hmm. is a nonprofit, I think, on the East Coast. And at a very young age, elementary school, we're teaching students about online safety. And, you know, it gets deeper as the students get older. But the reality is whether the teacher created that assignment for the student or not, there's a good chance that that kid would be getting online and looking for things. And so do we want to teach the students how to do that safely and in a way that's productive, or do we want to expect that they just won't be doing that? Because a lot of 13-year-olds have one of these in their pocket, and if they don't, one of their friends probably does. And if you watch what they do in social settings, there's a lot of engagement. So I think it's our responsibility to make sure that they know how to use the tools wisely. That's a new requirement in the digital mm-hmm. age.
So it's that idea of responsible use, not just acceptable use. Kelly?
Also, one of the great things about Google, for VUSD anyways, is we have our own VUSD domain for Google. So our students, we have a filtering process when they're on Google somewhat. And if they use a Google Doc and they're actually searching for something on their Google Doc, there is a search when you just click on the word or whatever it is you're searching for, there is a search bar that comes up on the side, and it's under the VUSD domain, so there is a little bit more of a safety feature. And as teachers, we teach them the credibility of sites and sources and how to use .edu and different types of domains to search for things that are credible and not just looking at, you know, ask.com or for their research. So part of the research instruction is teaching them how to look for credible sites and valid sources.
Okay. Other question? Yes. If you could go to the microphone, please, so our audience virtually can be part.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Davenport. I work actually at Riverdale Country School in the Bronx, which is a K-12 school. And I guess my question would be for Tara. I'm part of the hiring process every year for new teachers. What is your expectation as you're going into placement for this, whatever school you end up going to provide you with ongoing professional development in this arena?
Okay, that's a great question. Thank you. About ongoing professional development, what do you want your future school or district mm-hmm. to provide you with? What do you want Vista to provide you with?
That's a good one. I don't even know where to start.
Well, maybe it's not about specifics, but do you have an expectation
yeah.
that your school district that you decide to go and work for mm-hmm. will provide you with ongoing professional development?
Yeah, I would certainly hope so. And do you mean like technology?
Well, I guess in any arena, specifically in technology
yeah.
too.
Yeah, I would certainly hope for that. You know, I am open to learning, and I am a good learner, I believe. And so having that support along the way would be important for me, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. One of the things that we talked about was coming in as a new teacher and being handed just like, here's your curriculum, mm-hmm. you know, have fun. And so one of the things that we actually do is that we plan online. Our whole units are planned online on a Google Doc, and every single worksheet, video, Common Core, standard, everything is on one document. So you pull up the document, it's all right there. And so one of the things that Tara had talked to me about was, wow, I really hope the lead teacher of whatever school that I'm going to be hired at does this, so they can share that document with me and I have something to start with and, you know, edit as I go along and modify as I go along, but at least I have some kind of starting ground. So that was one of the things she shared with me. She didn't remember right now.
Thank you very much.
Devin, did you have a point?
Just a comment about that. That used to be like a binder that we would give new teachers. Here's your third grade binder or your this mm-hmm. binder. And the expectation now I've seen is Where's the link? Where's the folder? Because we presume that these resources will be organized digitally. But what's great about it is now that this resource is being developed, it can be shared not just with the two of them, but many, many others as well, even, you know, outside of our own environment. So the potential for these tools is just amazing. And I think we're just at the tip of the iceberg.
I think it's really interesting to think about this idea also of informal professional developments or your own self-directed professional development as well, and not always being passive and waiting for the school district in-service day or we're going to have training on Wednesday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, did you have a question?
I guess this is for Pat. So you would expect a professor for that teacher at that technology class to be a really good role model for these students. What about other teachers in your program, like your ed psych teacher and your ed foundations teachers? Or Tara, did they provide also a good role model for you in how to use technology in their teaching?
Do you want to get started? Pat, and I'll piggyback.
You tell them what you think.
As far as my
your
my
experience.
Role model?
the university.
All of our courses are done, I would say, 95% online. I mean, we meet in class, but all of our work is done online. We do peer revisions all online where we post our work and then are assigned a partner, and then we view each other's work and provide feedback.
Your website?
Yeah, we have our websites. We all have our own blogs that we created in also the Education 422 class, and we collaborate through there. So, yeah, I would say the bar has been set very high, and I look forward to using all of those, like, different websites and forms of collaboration in my classroom and with my colleagues as well.
I'd say we're working on it.
I'm
not sure we're all there yet, because obviously I started teaching before computers were even invented. I never had a computer course. You talk about organic. I just, kind of learned it on my own, too. So I feel like I'm racing to catch up, I have to admit.
Okay. A candid response. Thank you, Pat. Was there another question, sir? Go ahead. This will be our last question, folks.
With first-year college students, there's a high dropout rate. So I'm just wondering, from your individual perspectives, how you all would bridge the gap between secondary education and higher education.
This is what we were talking about just out in the hall before we came in. You must have been eavesdropping.
Yeah, this is really an important question. And we were sharing before we came in, this conference, EDUCAUSE, is geared for higher education. I've been immersed in educational technology, K-12, for at least a decade, and I was not aware of EDUCAUSE. And that's just a symptom of this disconnect between K-12 and higher ed. But I think some of the solutions may be at a local level. We recently signed an agreement with Cal State San Marcos for guaranteed admissions for students from Vista to matriculate into Cal State San Marcos. We have some projects going now, particularly in STEM, where the professors from the university are working hand in hand with high school teachers, doing tours for students. So I think we need to start that collaboration at a local level and think about articulation between K-12 and higher ed, much like between elementary and middle school or preschool and kindergarten. It just needs to be much more seamless in order to promote higher success rates once students do get into college.
Quite honestly, the reason that we have Vista and Cal State San Marcos up here is that I have witnessed myself through our research, our Speak Up research, the power of these type of local connections and local partnerships that Devin is talking about. And so that's why I wanted to bring them here to share my friends with all of you. I have a couple closing comments, but before I get to those, could you thank my fabulous panel for providing their insights today? Thank you, panel. In case you're interested in more Speak Up data, it's available at our website, tomorrow.org. Not only will you find this report that I referenced today, but also our K-12 reports and some of our other thematic reports, as well as some podcasts and webinars and other presentations that we have. So please feel free to take advantage of that. And then I mentioned early on that we are actively right now collecting data on the K-12 side for our K-12 survey. So if you happen to be a parent, you can go and take our parent survey. If you are a community member in a particular community and want to share your thoughts about the role of digital tools and resources within K-12 education, we also have a special community member survey this year. You can find all of these on our website. And then if you have the type of cooperating relationship such as Cal State San Marcos has with Vista, please feel free to share information about Speak Up with your partnering schools and districts. And then, as I also mentioned, opening on February 5th will be this year's version of our pre-service teacher survey. So we will, again, be collecting data from college students that are in teacher preparation programs to learn a little bit more about how they're learning about the use of digital tools and resources and their the role that that's playing in their education. And then we also will have, for the first time, a new survey for School of Education faculty. All participating institutions, both on the K-12 side and the higher ed side, get back all of their locally collected data as well as the national data to use for benchmarking. If you are not part of a school of education, you can share this information with those folks on your campus as well. So with that, folks, thank you so much for joining us. I know it's cocktail party time, at least those of us that are here in Anaheim. Thank you again to my fabulous panel. I know that I learned a lot from them. And thank you to all of you for joining us today. Thank you.